Why not turn to your left or right and say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? How's that? Than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Emman's version would be, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the earth. Because he was way up there where we're doing, what do you call that? The zip line thing. So when he was looking down, he said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the earth. When Caleb, I would like to start off this session over here in memory lane. When Caleb was about 5 years old, I was bringing him. I told probably this story over here, but I want to brag about that and to where Caleb is now also in his life. But Caleb is my firstborn, and he's 19. But when he was five, I was bringing him to the daycare, and then he asked me this question. He said, Dad, when I grow up, would I marry? I said, maybe so. The Lord probably would plan to bring you somebody, and you'll marry. Then he said, then I'll have kids, right? I said, yes. God would, God willing, you'll have your own kids. Then after that, I could drive the van, right? And I said, yes, you could drive your van. So fast forward to where we are right now. We went to NASA, and he had seen. We were there just enjoying ourselves, family time, and then there's this Camaro, and I said, I want that Camaro. I want a Camaro. So I guess I have a big time of waiting from the Camaro to the van, right? But I'm patient. I am patient. And also, Bethany has grown to be a wonderful lady. And we have been very blessed by her talents in cooking and baking. And so sometimes when I come back from work and we'll have this aroma inside the house of muffins and what have you, we can't help but be thankful to God in the progress of their growing. But as parents, there are certain times inside of us that we have certain encounters with the Holy Ghost in our lives that we would be wanting, if only it's possible, for us to have a slice of that event and that encounter with the Holy Ghost. And if it's just possible, just to give this to Caleb and Bethany and let them taste and see that the Lord is good, right? As parents also, we have this encounter, this excitement and revelation coming from God Almighty through the Holy Spirit. And if only we could transfer this to our kids and allow them to walk in the power and the anointing and the revelation and that devotion that they could have with God Almighty through the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we yearn for that. Sometimes you could find ourselves in the secret places of our houses, maybe secret room or what have you, secluded away from the noise and have our moment of soaking in the presence of God Almighty. And 2 hours would pass, 3 hours would pass, and you'd be saying, wow, it's already time to go to work. And so there's just so much that the Lord wants to pour out in our lives that we would like to pour out to our families and our friends. And in John 6:63, it says there, the Spirit gives life, but the flesh counts for nothing. So the investment that the Lord is calling for each and every one of us is the investment of the Spirit. We need to invest in the Holy Ghost and our encounter, and because the Holy Ghost is the one that reveals who Christ is in us and through us, right? And so that's the work of the Holy Ghost that has been commissioned by Christ before Christ left. Now, the most important person in the planet is the Holy Ghost. It's not the presidents, the prime ministers, the directors, or what have you, but it is the Holy Spirit. He is the most important person in the planet. And also, he is handling the most important work there is in the planet. You know, it's not the United Nations or any organizations that are trying to put everything together, puzzling up things and fixing things. Actually, they fix this thing, then here comes another problem, and then trying to fix that problem, then here comes another problem. And so the work of the Holy Spirit is the most important work there is in the planet right now. And it is through Him that we come to know God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I would like to go first in the importance and the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we have talked about this in our previous messages, but it's good to visit this just a little bit over here today. Number one, the Holy Spirit prophesied the coming of Christ. So, in the life of Christ, before He came, even from the garden, the Holy Spirit already has prophesied that He is coming through a virgin. The seed of the woman shall crush your head, right? In Isaiah 7:14, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin shall be of child, and He shall be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us, or in man is God. In Isaiah 9:6, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And we have talked about this. The child is born, but the son is given. The son is not born because the son is from all eternity. It's only the child that was born, that is Jesus, and the son is the Christ. Number two, the Holy Spirit conceived the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 1:20. Another role here, number three, the Holy Spirit sealed Jesus Christ in baptism, Matthew 11:16, Mark 1:10. Number four, the Holy Spirit led Jesus Christ in the desert for ministerial preparedness. I intentionally changed the color of that ministerial preparedness because we need to identify with that as well in our association with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Number five, the Holy Spirit ministered through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, Jesus Christ ministered through the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 4:14. Number six, the Holy Spirit sustained Jesus Christ through His ultimate work in the crucifixion in John 19:28-30. It was the Holy Ghost that brought Him there in power, even at the very last moment. Number seven, the Holy Spirit resurrected Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ died for our sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. He was made alive by the Spirit. Number eight, the Holy Spirit was the power in Christ's ascension. Number nine, the Holy Spirit was promised by Christ to all believers. That's you and me. Amen. So the Holy Ghost is inside of us. 1 John 4:4, as we started, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. The tragedy, though, is that we have not been so aware of this. There's a lot of people in the Christian faith that is not aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of them. Now, so let's go to what the importance of the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a disciple. We have regeneration. When we accepted the Lord, Titus 3:5-6, He saved us not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Rebirth there is peligenesia, meaning to say, born again. Genesis is Genesis. Pelig is again. Genesis again, or begin again, or be born again. So we have been born again through the Holy Spirit. That is role in us. We have been sealed in Ephesians 1:13-14. Having believed, you have been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, guaranteeing your inheritance until the day of your redemption. It's guaranteed that you are redeemed through Him, and the seal is the Holy Spirit. Adoption, Ephesians 1:5. Another role is indwelling. 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says there, it's a question actually. It says there, don't you know that you're the temple of God and God's Spirit dwells within you? There's an indwelling. And there's also this word in filling, Acts 2:4, when the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost. And Ephesians 5:18, don't get drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Holy Ghost, right? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. So that's one of his roles also. Now, in number six, he interprets Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:11-12. It says, there no eyes have seen, no ears have heard what God has prepared for those who love him. So, but we know this. This has been revealed to us. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is of God, that we may understand what he has freely given us. So we could understand what he has freely given us through the presence of the Holy Ghost inside of us. Okay? Number seven, for guidance. He's there for guidance. In Acts 8:29, we have Philip. And the Holy Ghost told Philip, to go in front of the eunuch. And through that, he was able to witness to the eunuch. And the eunuch eventually said, baptize me. I want to be part of this, right? Amen? So, number eight, anoints a believer. We have received an anointing from the Lord, and he teaches us about all things. He sanctifies a believer in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. And number 10, it says here, he is the source or the fruit of God's character, or the fruit of the Spirit, which will be, in Galatians 5:22, we'll be hearing that next message. Woo! Then number 11, empowers a believer. He empowers us. Okay, Acts 2:8. And when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, even the shadow of this is in Acts 5, actually the shadow of Peter. Can you imagine that power? That the shadow of Peter would just be touching the lame ones or the ones that are bedridden, and they raise up and they could be healed. In 1 Corinthians 12, that's our text for today, 1 Corinthians 12:6-11, we have there the listings of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, having said that, we all have this opportunity to associate with the Holy Spirit because it's already inside of us. Unlike in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit comes and he empowers or he instructs a person there to write prophecies or what have you, the Holy Spirit leaves. Because what they have at that early days is just a temporal way to fix sin or to deal with sin. The blood during the Old Testament just covers. But when Christ came, the blood of Jesus is the one that takes away our sins. And so, we have all the guarantee that the Holy Spirit inside of us would never leave us, would never forsake us. That's why in Hebrews 13:5, the Lord says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And the word never there in Greek is oume. And oume is a double negative word. Because it's a double negative word, and translate that towards the English would be, I would never, never leave you. I will never, never forsake you. So when you're stuck with God, he's stuck with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You are sealed, and the seal would never be erased. Amen? That's a reason for rejoicing. Now we have creditations for God, the Godhead. God the Father is credited for creation. God the Son is credited for salvation. God the Holy Spirit is credited for regeneration. And this is where we have a lot of problems. Okay? Some people, that's why doctrines would be spreading out towards the body of Christ. And actually, there would be, instead of communion, in John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ said, let them be one as we are one. Instead of having that, we have our little... The church of Christ or the bride of Christ has a little part over here, a little part over there, and they don't talk to one another. And they were saying they point fingers and so on and so forth. So instead of unity, there is division in the body of Christ. And it doesn't serve the purpose of that prayer of Christ. And that's not the focus of the body of Christ. Instead of connecting with one another and understanding one another and being one unit that is visible in the world as a witness and as a testimony, what we have is a watered-down testimony of the body of Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit definitely is the power behind regeneration for each and every one of us. Now, I grew up with the Church of the Nazarene. Holiness unto the Lord. And this is very important, right? Holiness unto the Lord. The Church of the Nazarene, of course, is Armenian. And in Armenian, the Armenian belief is that that part of the body of Christ believes that if you die in your sin and you haven't had a chance to confess, you might probably end up in hell. So there's that vigilance of am I clean in my relationship with the Lord? Do I have any sin in my life? I don't want to be run over by a truck today because I did something crazy last night. Or I watched something crazy last night. Or, you know, whatever you have done, is there's that condemnation inside your soul saying, man, if something happens today, I'm in big trouble. That's Arminianism. Now, in Calvinism, of course, we have that security of a believer. You know, once saved, always saved. And, you know, he has sealed us already, so I am safe. And of course, there's a lot of talk out there saying, you know, I could do whatever I want to do because I am saved and there's an abuse of grace and what have you. So there's a lot of theological stuff going on in this, in my life and in my growing up years that I sometimes find myself in the spin of saying I don't care about it anymore. You know? And it's just like, wow, you know, where do I put myself? So I have moved from certain theologies to a certain theology because I believe it is in preparation to where the Lord wants me to be. Now, as I was preparing this message, I would be saying to myself, Lord, am I qualified to talk about the gifts of the Holy Ghost? Do I need to throw theology again in front of the people and make confusion above confusion and irritation above irritation? Or do I, you know, what, you know, Bring me, O Lord, to the place where I have this confidence that it is you in me. And I remembered, he brought me into remembrance certain things. I was in college then doing my studies in veterinary medicine in the Philippines. And I usually go to a certain spot in the university, and it's a beautiful tree. And it was there that I read the Psalms. And in the spirit of the Psalms is just so powerful. You could talk to the grass and we'd be saying, hey, grass, lift up your little leaf and praise the Lord. Hey, leaves up there, you know, just lift up your... It was the Psalm has brought me to that place of worship. And the Spirit of the Lord ministered to me at that time. And I didn't understand it. It was just like, all of a sudden, I saw myself in my heart, in my spirit, I was running a race. And in this race, it was like a marathon. And in this race, I keep on running, and there was this fence, and I jumped the fence, and when my feet landed, it was water, splashing water, and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, it became dry land, and I keep on running. And that was saying, that was strange, that's strange. I didn't understand what that was. And then I asked the Lord, what was that all about? And he said, son, you are going to be in my race. And you're going to be crossing the fence. You're going to be crossing the water. And in that water, you will continue running for me. Well, I didn't have any idea about the plan of the Lord for me to bring me here in the States. That I was running the race in the Philippines, and that water signified I'm going to cross over that ocean and continue my running over here. So I guess I'm still running. Praise God for that. Amen. And then there was this time again that the Lord brought that to my memory, you know, about His work in my life, that I had been trained as a chaplain, and I didn't have any opening for me. You know, I had 2 more weeks left for me in my chaplain training, and I sent my resume all over the United States. I sent over 50 applications. You know, I was so desperate because I had only 2 weeks, then I'm going to be jobless. Okay? And then I went to God in my spirit again, and I said, Lord, You are my general. I am Your private. I am ready for the next assignment, sir, whatever it is. By the way, I was very confident in sending all my resumes because my wife is a nurse. My lovely wife is a nurse. My lovely wife is a nurse. And so if there's a hospital that would get me, she could come in. And we could go on. But out of that 50 plus applications, only one hospital wrote me, and that's the hospital in Florida. And the letter said, thank you so much for your application. And unfortunately, we already have identified the chaplain that would be for us. We wish you well. And you are the 61st applicant that we have. 61st! Oh, man! So, because it was so heavy, I say, okay, Lord, one more week. There was an event that my brother in Seattle told me, Elvin, Bethany is already 2 years old, and you never have sent me a picture of Bethany. And I said, the first thing that I'll do is I'll send you a picture of Bethany. Sorry, no Facebook at that time. The very first thing that I'll do is I'll send you a picture of Bethany tomorrow morning. When I went to the post office that morning, the moment I opened the car, I just felt the Lord speaking again to my heart. And He said, son, there is a chaplain position that I'm reserving for you. Somebody is ahead of you, but I'm not giving it to him. I'm reserving it just for you. And the only thing that I could do is just lift up that envelope with Bethany's picture in it. And I said, Lord, it is mine. I bless it. That pulpit is mine in the name of Jesus. Whatever you want me to do. Because I'm in the race. So anyway, I didn't know where it was. Then there's this chaplain that's being trained together with me. His name is Chaplain Rudy Espinosa. And Rudy approached me and said, Elvin, there's a chaplain position at San Jacinto Methodist Hospital. They have interviewed me. They're giving this. This is the package and what have you. And he said, they offered me the job. And Rudy said, the more I think about it, he said, it's not for me. It's not meant for me. I guess the Holy Ghost was working in his life, in his heart too. Stop. So Rudy said, why not apply over there and see what happens? I applied over there, and right on the spot, Lori Terry, the vice president of the hospital, said, do you want the job? Somebody was ahead of me, but I'm not giving it to him. I'm reserving it just for you. So I started September 10, 2001, September 11, 2001. The airplanes were hitting those buildings in New York the following day. So He wants to speak to us. One of my favorite verse is Psalms 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. He wants His will for you. He wants His will for me to take place. And He speaks to us. He instructs us. Now, since the Holy Ghost is the person of the Trinity, that there's just so much argument and so much theology floating around, I guess I'm gonna join in the argument, right? Is that okay with you guys? I'm gonna join in the muck, the arguments and so the theology and all this. Okay, I'm gonna join it. So I'd like to start this with, there are two distinct scriptural experiences of the Holy Spirit in the early church. Let's go back to what happened during the early times. Okay? And let me say that the first thing that happened is there's this reception of the Holy Spirit. There was a reception of the Holy Spirit. The moment that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and his blood was spilled, I remember the scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. So the disciples didn't have the opportunity of being blessed with the death of Christ, I mean the blood of Christ, until his death. They had no benefit at that time, at that point. So, in John 20, let's just follow. By the way, the book of John, half of it is part of when Jesus Christ entered humanity. And half of the book of John talks about his last days here on earth. Okay? So if you have your Bibles, I would like to invite you to open it in John chapter 20. And we'll start off in verse number 19. Okay? John 20, starting verse number 19. If you don't have any Bibles with you there, we have some Bibles down in the pews, and help yourself with it. Okay? Otherwise, just listen to the word. John 20. On the evening that the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. By the way, they're fearful because if they kill Jesus, they're going to kill them too. So they're fearing the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said it, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Finally, they have believed. Okay? Could you imagine what happened to that fear that was in that room at that time when Jesus Christ disappeared? That here's a champion of, the champion of death in our midst right now. Do you think the fear could still exist in that presence? No. They have Jesus Christ in their midst. They have checked out his hands and what have you. He is alive. And they could face even Satan to his face and have no fear whatsoever, right? Amen? It was a powerful event for the disciples. 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Say that word for me, please. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Okay. So they have received the Holy Spirit. Okay? If you forgive anyone his sins, and they forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Because the message of the gospel is actually the message of reconciliation. That's the reason why that's there. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord. We have touched his wound. We have seen he's alive. He is alive." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." It's always peace be with you. That's so wonderful about our Lord Jesus Christ, right? You know, when he comes in, when you encounter him as your Lord and Savior, you could feel that peace so pronounced because the Prince of Peace has entered. Okay? Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Because it's by believing that the Holy Ghost comes and seals a believer. The hindrance for all the religions of the world, whatever it is, what color it is the distance from believing and not believing. The moment you believe, you have the Holy Ghost with you. Period. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." That's us. We're so blessed. We haven't seen, but we believe. Amen? That's so powerful. That's so powerful. So we become part of the family. John 1:12, "Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So we have the right. In other translations, we have the power to become children of God because we become part of His identity. Jesus did many miraculous signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but when these are written, that you may believe. Again, there just, that's that word again, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. Whew. Believing is such a powerful thing. Amen? Now, let's continue the story. John 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, son of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. I'm going out fishing, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood in the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net because of the large number of fish. Remember what the Lord said when He called His disciples in Matthew chapter 4? When He was calling His first disciples, He said, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men, not fishers of fish. Okay? There's a certain level in Christian faith that in our Christian faith, even though we are born again and sealed by the Holy Spirit, there is this compromise. There's a lot in the body of Christ. There was this convention. I don't want to downplay our brothers and sisters in the Lord, right? Okay, I don't want to do that. Please don't take me wrong. But there was a national convention of a certain denomination, and in that convention, they filled up the hotels in that place. And you know what? When the survey has been done, a lot of those people that are supposed to be leaders inside the church are watching X-rated movies, and the scale went up during that convention at that particular time for that particular denomination. And that's sad. Even though they have the Holy Spirit in their presence, they don't have the power of the Holy Ghost to say no to ungodliness. And there's a lot of that in the body of Christ. There's a lot of compromise. They do this and they do that. They know inside their heart, the voice of the Holy Ghost is shouting inside of them, don't do that, that's wrong. But they suppress, they grieve the Spirit, and they don't want to flow with Him. When you have the Holy Ghost inside you, there's a voice. You are not your own anymore. You have been bought by the price, and that price is so high. It's the blood, the holy, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost inside of you instructs you and teaches you and guides you. So, God will rearrange the furniture of your life, showing you what is not supposed to be, because holy is He that is in you. So there would be a rearrangement of the furniture of your lives. In Luke 24, if you have your Bibles with you, go to Luke 24. And 44. It says here it echoes the same event through the eyes of Luke. We have the eyes of John. We have read the eyes of John. Now we'll look at the eyes of Luke. Luke 24, starting verse number 44. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Jesus is speaking. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then He opened their minds so that they could understand Scripture. How did He do that? He breathed on them the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who opened up their mind. The Holy Ghost did that. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says there, for who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is of God, that we may understand what God has freely given us through the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so it says here, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in the name of in his name to all nations, beginning to Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high. Could you see the flow there? He already opened up their eyes. They now understand the scripture. They were able to understand the scripture because he breathed on them the Holy Ghost. And yet he said, don't go out yet. Stay here. Tarry here until you are endowed by power of the coming from God on high. Okay? It seems like it appears that there is another part. And in number two, we call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hey man, are you sleeping? Number two. Okay. So, he opened up their minds so they could understand scripture, and yet it says, he warned them, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the Holy with the power from on high. It's very interesting. We have testimony over here from the book of Acts, of course, from John. We go to the book of Acts, and in Acts 8, 9, and 17. Let's just read that. Acts 8, 9. Okay, it says, now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the peoples of Samaria. He boasted that he has someone great. He was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is the divine power known as the great power. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles of Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, they had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. If you are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, right? And yet here we have another flow of the Spirit, that you know, flow of the story, that they need to be baptized in the baptized by the Holy Spirit. Are you confused yet? So it's just speaking out, you know. When Peter and John placed their hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Acts 19 is another one. Acts 19, verse number 1, and going down. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, what then, what baptism have you received? John's baptism. They replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one that is coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Paul placed his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They were about 12 men in all. If there's anything else that I would like to probably invite each and every one of us here in this congregation this morning, is this. There is more. If anything else in this conversation that would stand out where you are and where I am as a believer in the Lord, sealed by the Holy Ghost, is this world, this universe, that there is more in the spiritual realm that the Lord wants to pour out to each and every one of us. More. Don't be content. If there's anything else in this conversation this morning that I would like to communicate to you, is that you ain't there yet. I ain't there yet. There is more that the Holy Spirit wants to pour to each and every one of us. He wants to clean the house, to rearrange the furniture of our spirituality. If you are finding yourself compromising in your walk in the Lord, and you cannot feel that strength of the Holy One inside of you, beg Him. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Whatever that means. Yes, I could go out fishing for fish, but I want to go out fishing for men. And there's that urgency and that power given by the Holy Ghost in your presence. Amen? I'm not mad. I'm just sharing. John 16. Pastor Elvin, when are you reaching the verse, our key verse today? Are you keeping time? Okay, John 16. It says here, in verse number 7, it says here, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." Remember, Jesus Christ has, this is in John 3, has the Holy Ghost without limit. Jesus Christ in John 3:31 has the Holy Ghost, to 33, has the Holy Ghost without limit. So if you don't, if he doesn't die, he said there, "I am going away." He's not just going away. No, going away, he means there is his crucifixion and his death. Without him going away, the Holy Ghost would not come, because he is endowed by the Holy Spirit without limit. You could say God has confined himself in space and time. And in that space and time, it was Christ who had the Holy Ghost without limit, and it is necessary for him to die and let his blood come out, that the Holy Ghost would be released and he would be able to give us the Holy Ghost. By the way, without the shed of blood, there is no remission for sins, right? There is no forgiveness for sins without the blood, right? So that means when Jesus Christ died for us, the blood cleansed us. And when the blood cleansed us, we become holy vessels. Holy vessels whereby the Holy Ghost could come in and occupy and dwell and empower. So it was necessary when he said, "It is for your good. It is for my good that I go away." Oh, this is great, isn't it? Isn't it that the Holy Ghost came because we are cleansed vessels because of the blood of Jesus Christ? In verse number 13 to 16, it says here, "But when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come." He will not speak his own. Why? Because he is not the Word. He will not speak his own because he is not the Word. The Word is Christ. He will speak the Word of Christ because Christ is the Word. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh," right? The Word became available to us through the illumination of the Holy Spirit inside of us, that we may understand God. Amen? So it, I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. And he says there, in John 3:31-34, God gives him without the Spirit. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. And I promise you, this would be short. Are you hungry yet? Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, 1-11. It says here, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. That's a trademark. That's a trademark of us. From pagan worship, from idol worship, from evil worship, into the family of God, we have that testimony coming from the Holy Ghost that Jesus Christ is Lord. I remember Pastor Day saying, you know, from being the sons of Satanás, remember that, to sons of God. From sons of the devil to sons of God. There are different kinds of gifts in verse number 4. The gifts over there is charisma, enablement, or abilities. But the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, which are ministries, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, action, or activities, but the same God works all for them in all men. Number 7, now to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's the reason for it, for the common good. No one, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking different kinds of tongues, to still another interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. See that? Bold. Just as He determines. So, all this has been displayed. All these giftings has been displayed in the life of Christ. I'll give you a little example over here. That the message of knowledge. Say, for example, when Jesus Christ was in the well. And this woman who doesn't know affiliation whatsoever, and this woman in the well came to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ said, "You call your husband," and the woman said, "I don't have any husband," and Jesus said, "You're right in that saying that you don't have any husband. In fact, you have 5. You know, and the woman was so amazed by this the spirit of knowledge that Jesus Christ had that he said, "Come." She went back to the town and said, "Come, I have seen the Messiah. I know that this person knows me from nowhere." So, and of course, we have miraculous powers. He walked on top of the water and what have you. So we have all this coming from the Holy Ghost, saturating the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the key word over here, though, is that He determines. The Lord determines. Now, some denominations would be saying, unless you speak in tongue, you are not saved. How would that match as He determines? Right? It doesn't match it. You know, some has this, some has that, some has this, some has that, as He determines. So, we need to honor the word of the Lord in this thing. Now, is there a craving inside of us that, Lord, I know I'm saved, I know, you know, I'm set for eternity, I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost, but I want more of you. Do we have that thirst inside of us? You know, focusing not in the gift. The gift is just an upshoot of the feeling of the Holy Ghost. But, you know, we don't focus in the gift, we focus in the person. Focus on the person. Don't focus on the gift. Some people, they have to go run on this seminar and that because there's this stuff over here. They're focusing on the gift. They're not focusing on the person. And that, my friend, is very dangerous. Luke 11:11-13. Which of you brothers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If he asks for a van, would he give him a Camaro? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Meaning to say, we need to ask Him. It doesn't just, you know, yes, we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we are sealed with the Holy Ghost, but really, do we want more of Him and the Holy Ghost would reveal Him to us? That's the position that each and every one of us, the spiritual position that each and every one of us needs to have. That, Lord, I know I'm not there yet. You know, there's still unforgiveness inside my soul. There is this maliciousness or you know, stuff inside my soul that I know is not of you. I want you to rearrange my life in a way that I am so focused in you and that Christ may be revealed in me so that others may be blessed and the body of Christ may be blessed. It's nice to see all this power and the gifts of the Holy Ghost coming out. But it's nicer to have that intimacy with God through the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to have preeminence in my life. Only the Holy Ghost could do that to you. Only the Holy Ghost could do that for me because I am not exempt. Ask the Lord for more of the Holy Ghost. Don't get drunk with wine, but get drunk with the Holy Spirit. You know, this is one thing also as pastors or people that are preaching over here in the front, you know, and Pastor Eric Pilarga actually kind of, I want to piggyback on what he said one time, you know, I feel like I'm shaking, you know. And it's also true for each and every one of us that are delivering the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord. We shake inside of us, but we will be saying, Lord, I will step back. I will step back, Lord. Step forward, please. Step forward. Minister to the people. As our choir would be coming over here to lead us in worship, I also like to come to invite each and every one of us today in this place that will be inviting God to work more for us, that He would remove the fear in each and every one of us and replace it with His peace. And not just that, but allow the Holy Spirit to come more powerfully in our lives as believers. That even in the wee hours of the morning, you couldn't help but, when the Lord nudged you, say, hey, come and fellowship with me today. Come and read the scripture today. There's that excitement. Oh, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? Is there anything you want to say to me today? Be it something like, hey, I love you, or I'm proud of you, or, you know, if you could only hear God saying to you, I love you, and I'm so proud of you, you know, that feeds into your heart and allows you to release yourself more for the glory of God. If God so choose, and if He has determined to give the gifts and manifestation of His power through the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life, praise God. It's for the building up of the body of Christ. It's the building up for each and every one of us. We are winners in Christ through the Holy Spirit inside of us. Amen? Amen. So, this time I would like to ask those people in the, could you dim the light a little bit for us, please? Thank you. I'd like to invite anybody or anyone who would like to say, Lord, I want more of you. I'm not content with where I am right now. You know, I know you I'm saved, you dwell inside my soul, my being. But Lord, I'm not content. I want more of you. I want to know you more. The Spirit gives life, but the flesh counts for nothing. I want to invest in the Spirit, Lord. I want to invest in the Spirit. I would like to welcome you all as the choir sings over here. I want to invite anybody as a gesture of your language to God to stand or to bow your head in where you are or to come in the pulpit over here. You're most welcome to respond to God. Amen.